Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, may Allah bless each and every one of you. We appreciate you joining us today. Assalamu alaikum to everyone, and Ramadan Mubarak. We appreciate you joining us, and we're going to get started on the khutbah in just a moment, the Jummah prayer service. We're in Los Angeles, and I am your imam for today, Muhammad Khatib, and we thank Allah for giving us this blessing. We got some callers on the line. We're trying to let them in. See if we can do it. I really appreciate you joining us today. And I want to say again, Ramadan Mubarak to everybody. Can you believe it's already the 16th of Ramadan? And I want to say to everybody all over the world, Ramadan Mubarak. And we appreciate them joining us today here in Los Angeles, California. And this is, as I said, the 16th of Ramadan. And in the Gregorian calendar, or in the Western calendar, this is April 7th. We want to talk a little bit about a couple of things today. One is the Ramadan and the Jummah, and the other is the fact that other religions are celebrating a day tomorrow, or I should say Sunday. And we are appreciative of everybody who was able to join us today, Jummah. We're going to call the Adhan and go ahead and get started. The Adhan is the call, a loud call that you made. It sounds almost like a song to get let everybody know that the Jummah is going to start. They can hear us from far away when you call the Adhan. Adhan literally means ears. So we're calling the people's ears to let them know, alert them that it's time for the Jummah prayer to start. So everybody who's on the line, if you can, please put your phone on mute. And we really would appreciate that. Thank you so much. So we're going to call the Adhan now, and then don't hang up. Stay on the line and just listen in. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, that was the Adhan we just called. We're going to open up the Jummah today with the authentic greeting that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. Prayers and peace be upon him. And we're going to say it in Arabic and in English. And it's called Kutbah al-Hajja. And it says, Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min sharuri anfusina wa min sayyati ahmalana. Man yahdi allahu fala mudilla lahu. ومن يدلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And the translation of that introduction is as follows. Praise be to Allah. We seek his help and his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. And incidentally, I meant to say also that Allah has no partners. When we say La Sharika Lahu. That means we are not committing shirk against him. That means he has nothing whatsoever, no one whatsoever, or whomsoever, that is a partner with Allah. No one, no being, no one, nothing in creation can do what Allah does. Allah cherishes and sustains the whole creation. He says he cherishes and sustains it. And he said, if he didn't, it would not function. It would cease to function. So we want to be aware of that. And we want to be aware that we are celebrating this month especially, because this is the month that our guidance, called the Quran, that which is to be read, recited, and lived, our guidance began to be revealed in the month of Ramadan. The first five verses of the Holy Quran were Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, the chosen one, the final one, final human being that Allah chose to carry his message to the world, to all the world, to everyone, everyone equally. And the first five verses that say, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqal insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbukal akram alladhi alama bil qalam, alama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Read, and your Lord is most bountiful. He who taught the use of the pen. Or read, in the name of your Lord, who created man from a clot of congealed blood. Read, and your Lord is most bountiful. He who taught the use of the pen taught man that which he knew not. Those are the first words that Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad by way of the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, the archangel who carries the message of Allah to mankind, carries knowledge to mankind. Allah had Gabriel reveal those or bring those words to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. And some people say, well, why is Al-Fatiha numbered in the Holy Quran as the first book in the Holy Quran, or the first words in the Holy Quran? Well, Al-Fatiha is not the first words, but Al-Fatiha is the first completed chapter, or first completed surah, what we call surah, first completed book of the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran has 114 books or chapters we call it. And Al-Fatiha is numbered as number one, but those were not the very first words revealed to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him. So let us study, brothers and sisters, so that we can be wise, so that we can be knowledgeable, and that our knowledge would help us keep our help us develop our wisdom. Our knowledge would build us up and save us. And Allah says that He has revealed the Quran, and one of the things that He reason He revealed the Quran is so we would have guidance. We would have guidance. We would have healing. One of the names of the Quran is Shifa'un. We would have healing. And that means that it heals the diseases in you, in your heart, your psychological, spiritual diseases, your moral failings, your out-of-control appetites. And that's why we're so glad for the Ramadan, because this is the month that the book that helps us do that was began to be revealed. That's the Quran. And all of the Muslims are to read the whole Quran. It's divided into 30/30ths. And we're to read a whole 30th each day of the Ramadan fast. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. I hope you're able to follow along. I hope what I'm talking about is clear to you, and that it's acceptable to you. I know it's really hard today, because we live in a society that uses all its power. The Western world especially uses all its power to assert that its idea of reality is the real and only reality, when actually it's not. But Allah has revealed, starting with creating Adam and giving Adam knowledge, that is the real reality. That is the original. And nothing else existed except the ground that Adam was walking on, the trees and mountains and the climate and whatnot. And Adam didn't worship those things. Adam worshiped the one who made him, and the one who made him was the creator of the heavens and the earth, whom we call Allah. That means he is the being who has all of the divine names. He has no human attributes or worldly or creation attributes. He is the creator of the creation. Nothing would exist except by Allah's will. And whenever he wills anything or wants anything or desires anything, he just wills it into being. He says, kun fayakun, be. So let us be mindful of that, and let us practice this way of life, because it, as I said, the original, this is the original reality that we live in. And from time to time, Allah sent different messengers who incidentally were sons of Adam and Eve. They began, Allah used them as humans to begin creation. And so if you say, well, what about Moses? Moses is a son of Adam. What about Jesus? I don't mean his direct son, but I mean a descendant. What about Jesus? Him too. What about David? Him too. Abraham, called the father of many nations. Him too. So everybody is actually a descendant of Adam. And let us, brothers and sisters, realize that. And there were people who were descendants of Adam. Some of the descendants of Adam went astray by doing crazy stuff. Some of them said, I think I'll worship this rock. Some said, no, I'll worship the trees. No, I'll worship these shiny stones. How about the metals? This is pretty metal. Look how beautiful it is. It sparkles and shines. I think I'll worship nothing on earth, but I think I'll worship the stars. What about the moon? What about the sun? Look how wonderful that is. In fact, it almost fooled Abraham. And he said, this sun, oh, this is the greatest of all. This must be my God. But when the sun set, Abraham said, no, I don't like those that set. See, Allah doesn't set. Allah doesn't stop. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't quit. Allah is Allah day or night, rain. It doesn't matter. Allah is the creator, and he's the one who causes all of these interesting and amazing miracles or phenomena to exist or to happen. So whenever you think about anything in the life of this world, realize that it is a created thing. And if you want to escape the pull or the influences or the gravity or the folly, really, the nonsense, if you want to escape all of that, the realities and the silliness, if you want to escape them and put yourself with the creator, then you have to call on Allah, because Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allah is the one who lets man do whatever man wants to do, and some of the things that man wants to do are very bad, very bad. He wants to call himself some kind of an overlord or God or something, and then he turns around and gives misery to his fellow man. Allah does not do that to you. Allah says every good that you earn, he blesses you for it. Every deed that you do, he blesses you 10 times or more. Allah is the creator of heavens and the earth. And this society makes it so hard for us to get that through our heads. We look at something, we say, huh? Oh, I like that. And we run right to it. Some things are natural, but other things are unnatural. And man will run to unnatural things and false things faster than he will the good things and the natural things sometimes. Allah says in the Quran that the thing that a man should be calling for of good, he calls bad. When he should be calling good, he calls bad. And he says sometimes he calls on what's bad way more than he calls on what's good. Allah blesses him, but he doesn't show appreciation for Allah. And there's verses, I'm giving you either the exact words of the verse or the concept of the verse whenever I'm talking to you about something, because this is critically important to me. Allah says the worst kind of person is those who misguide others away from the way of Allah. So brothers and sisters, never let us be guilty of that sin. Let us do the best we can towards our fellow man. And when we realize that we're making a mistake
And you heard me say earlier that we seek refuge with Allah against our own bad deeds. We seek refuge with Allah against our own out-of-control appetites. So whenever you realize that you're not doing exactly as the Holy Quran says, and some people say, well, I study the Bible. Well, there is enough clear evidence in the Bible to give you great, great success. But the Bible is not the book that is called La Rayba Fi. It's not a book that has absolutely no faults or flaws or falsehood in it. There have been kings, there have been popes, there have been rabbis, there have been leaders, leaders and generals and whoever has tampered with many verses of the Bible down through time. You say, no, they didn't know. They didn't. How do you know? You can't go back 4,000 years and tell me when somebody was tampering with the Bible. If many of these people were so holy and righteous, they would really believe and do the kinds of things that Moses and Jesus did. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you see people acting like that? You see too many people who show that they don't have love for their fellow man. Let's translate that to respect. Let's translate that to regard. Let's translate that to the neighbor being safe. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, said, a Muslim is one from whose hands others are safe. He's not a criminal. He's not a thief. He's not a burglar. He's not an attack for no reason. The only reason that a Muslim will fight you is the only reason we're supposed to fight you is to stop you from fighting us when you started it. That's the Muslim way. So we want to practice this way of life. We want to be people who act right under all circumstances. Moses said, don't worship anything but Almighty God. All of the prophets said that. All of them come with the warning as well as the good news that you have a creator over you who loves you and wants to help you. He's got many, many names that talk about him being so strong and so protective and so providing for you that he is the one who gives you safety. He's the one who feeds you. But is not fed. He don't need any favors from you. He is strong, and he is the one who has destined a glorious future for you if you would accept that gift. So all of the prophets said, worship none. I come to you with a message from the creator of the heavens and earth that you should only worship him, and if you do, you will have great success and prosperity. If you pray to him, give your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole attention to the creator, you will have safety. And your creator is not the material world. It's not a man. None of the prophets. We don't worship them. They're the best people on earth. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being called the very best and the last, the final. He's called Khayr Mursaleen, the best and the final. He's the best of all of the messengers. That's what Khayr Mursaleen means. He's the best of all of the messengers. And the messengers are the best of all of the human beings. They carry the divine message of Almighty God. They carry his words to the rest of mankind. That's what a messenger does. If we follow that guidance, that message, we follow that guidance, Allah has promised us great success. If we don't follow the guidance, he has promised us terrible, terrible penalties. Yes. We don't need to be gloomy. We should be happy that we have guidance to know which way to go, to know what to do, to know how to act, to know how to treat other people, to be so respectable that you can represent what the Creator is talking about. No, you're not perfect. You don't have to be perfect. If I'm starving to death and you and I had a falling out and you give me something to eat, someone accepted. And then we're going to talk about being on better terms. I hope that's a good example. So we have to do everything we can to mend our lives and to mend our relationship and relationships with others to show that Allah has blessed us
and to show that the blessing is so powerful that others should want it. They should adopt it, follow it. They see us doing well, and in their heart, and many people do that. Sometimes they won't say anything, but in their heart they say, how can this person consistently be doing so well? Brothers and sisters, let us wake up to the great blessing that we have as Muslims. This is a great blessing to be in something that you can practice and has all of the answers in it. Allah says he has revealed this book, and in it has all of the answers. All of the answers. There's no falsehood in it. There's no wrong answers in it. There's no wrong direction in it. Every matter of concern has been dealt with thoroughly in the Holy Quran. Truthfully in the Holy Quran. Exactly in the Holy Quran. Perfectly in the Holy Quran. So that none of the words of the Holy Quran will ever send you the wrong way. I don't care what this world says. This is the world of slavery. This is the world of alcohol. This is the world of eating of things that are forbidden. Even the Bible from long ago, and I believe the book of Leviticus or during the time of Moses, he spelled out perfectly how we should behave and how we should stay away from forbidden things. And how we should worship only the Creator, how we should not be eating pork, how we should not be carving on ourselves with the tattoos, you know. The Bible long ago, thousands and thousands of years ago, said do not, they called it mutilation. Do not mutilate your body because, you know, some people write on their bodies with tattoos. And then you got some people that cut their bodies, put all kind of holes in themselves, mutilate their bodies. You know about it. Google it. Google what mutilations do people put on themselves. And you see people that put holes in their eyebrows, holes in their tongue, holes in the other parts of their bodies. It's insane. That's what the devil will make you do to yourself. Allah says in the Holy Quran that the Satan has led people to the slaughter of their own children. That's what abortion is about. The slaughter of their own children. They were doing that during the time of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prayer and the peace be upon him. That's what sallallahu alaihi wasallam means. But sometimes they would bury what they didn't want. If they didn't want that child, they were buried alive. Now tell me that's not insane. You got people who brand themselves. Yeah, I've seen people with an actual brand on themselves. I don't know if they did it with a sharp blade or if they burned it into themselves on their arm. And, you know, the slavers, the Europeans, when they would go all over the world to attack other cultures, they would usually brand you with a hot brand like they would brand a cow or a sheep or something, goat, you know. They treat their dogs better than that today. They don't brand dogs. They buy dogs insurance. They buy dogs clothes. The best of food, they hug the dog sleep in their beds, all of that. You mess with their dog and see what happens. When the traffic comes and the dog's going across the street, they stop for a dog, almost run over a human. They're so unjust, so insane, so just mentally imbalanced and out of it, ignorant, crazed. Yes. Ignorant, unlearned, superstitious. Look how many people run their lives by the astrology. I didn't say astronomy where you actually study the stars and you can get your direction out in space in a spaceship or whatever. Astrology, how they apply what some silly person who's very smart, you know, Satan's got children, you know, followers. When I say children, I mean children can mean followers. And if the person's not blood related to you, then he can be doing what you want him to do because he's your follower. I think scripture says that sometimes your flesh and blood children are not your followers. Look at the son of Noah. He didn't follow his son. And Abraham's own father threatened to kill him about teaching against the statues and the stones and idols. Yeah. The prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, he said that the children of the devil, he said that the Jews of his time were doing the things that were the practices of the devil. And I was reading the news where over in Israel they had the biggest demonstration that they have ever had since the formation of Israel, when it was helped to be given by the, believers, the British, helped them get the territory of the land that was called Palestine, and they forced Palestinians out, and they still attacked them. And I heard that the leader of Israel told the Jews, don't fight no more. Stop. Take a recess. Let's just put this on hold, and we'll get back to the thing they were angry about. They were angry because the government was, or the leadership, the politicians and different ones were changing the Israeli courts or laws or something like to that, the constitution or something to that effect. And so they exploded over there. They were going nuts. But what did they do? They created a distraction. They created a distraction by going and starting a fight, a battle, and killing people at a holy site, Masjid al-Aqsa, in Jerusalem. And so this is the month of Ramadan, you know. Killing Muslims in the month of Ramadan, attacking the holy places in the month of Ramadan. Oh, don't you know how angry the Muslims are? And that's why we're talking about it right now. But Israel created a distraction so that people wouldn't see the Jews fighting each other, because on record, they want to be seen as united. But Jesus said when he was among them 2,000 years ago, and we got history right in the Bible that they weren't united then. And on top of that, he said the leadership of the Jews were the devil. And the leadership of the Jews have hated him ever since. You know, they thought a Messiah was going to come and help them get richer and richer and richer. The powerful people did. A Messiah did come, but he didn't help them get richer and richer and richer. He questioned them on their obedience to Allah and their wickedness that they were doing to themselves and the world, mostly to others in that land. So I just wanted you to know and to realize some of the confusing things that's going on in the present day, and let you know who's behind it. Who's behind it? It's the media. The religious media will manipulate things we think are true. They'll manipulate verses. They'll manipulate scripture. They'll manipulate what we would consider holy books and have you doing something entirely different from what Allah wants you to be doing. I hope you can follow what I'm talking about, because it makes a difference between whether you have a sane mind or an insane mind as to what you believe in and participate in, and what you accept from others that are all around you in this society. So in a few days, they'll be celebrating what they call the crucifixion of Jesus, that he was killed and crucified. Well, guess what? The Holy Quran says that is a fabrication. Holy Quran says they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, though it was made to appear. So they're constantly, you know, the news media tell you anything, and it appears like it's the truth. We think it's the truth, and it's not the truth. You see in a movie something that you think is true, and it's not true. I remember when I was a little boy, we would go to the movie, and whatever the movie actor was doing in the movie, we would come out and take that before we even left the movie, we were doing the same thing. So if it was the Cowboys, we was pretending to have guns. And we were little guys, 7, 8 years old, whatever. And if it was a movie of a karate or something, we'd come out the movie, we'd be practicing or trying to do the different moves that the actor was doing. You know, there was one actor that was very popular, and the whole world would do that. Not just little kids, but grown people would come out. And before they even get outside the movie theater, they'd be imitating what they saw in the movie. But it's not true. It's a movie. It's made up. It's fiction.
Well, the religious media, they've been doing that for thousands of years, and they'll get right in that book and change around something, and you'll think it's from God or from the angel Gabriel revealed it to one of the messengers, Moses or Jesus or Abraham, and it's not from Allah. It's not through that messenger. No. That's been happening. They even let the different kings get involved. They let the popes get involved. They let the wise men get involved until you could really call Christianity, which we think is Jesus' name. That's not his name. That's his title. That's one of his titles. He is a Christ. The scripture says there's many Christs. Moses was a Christ. Abraham was a Christ. Christ just means one who's purified and who comes with the truth from Almighty God to lead you to Almighty God. That's a Christ figure, somebody who's highly noble and meritorious and righteous. That's Christ. Christ means you clean. You clean enough to represent Almighty God's truth. That's all it's talking about. But they've been letting kings right in here. What do you call it? King James Version. He wasn't known as no prophet. He wasn't known as any kind of a righteous, scriptural type of person. They let all kind of people write it. So they shouldn't call it Christianity, meaning they're talking about Jesus. They should call it Paulianity, because Paul's teachings are much more established than the things they know about what Jesus said. Yes, they are. Paul was one of the children of Israel, and the world says he was so good. They don't know. They just believe what is put in front of them. Like when you're a little bitty baby and your mother feeding you, you don't know. You don't know what that is. You're just eating it because you trust your mother with your heart. You come from her body. You're made out of her body. You're in her womb, and you're packaged up, put together by the will of Allah inside your mother's body, and you are part of your mother and part of your father, but your physical body gets all of its nutrients and all of its cells and everything are there being formed out of your cells and nourished, completely nourished from a little bitty thing you can't even see all the way to where you're big enough to come out of the womb and survive. So when she feeds you, you know you're hungry. You open your mouth. And after a while, everything she gives you tastes pretty good. Pretty soon, as soon as you see her, you be licking your lips because you're hungry. And if you're a breastfed baby, if you were fed from her breast, she's even more valuable to you. Yes, you don't see her as mama with just the comfort. You see her as mama with the food. I get stronger after I drink my mother's milk. Yeah. Well, that's how they feed you in this society, because they think they see you as just a little bitty baby, but not a baby to be valued and cuddled and taken care of and fed and changed when you're wet and rocked to sleep when you're sad or sleepy. They see you as a baby in the mind, a baby with no sense. They see you literally as a bunch of idiots. And they know that you'll eat whatever they put in front of you, no matter what media it's from, what form it's put in. That's how so many people got turned into really, really bad situations in their life. The drugs are part of that. They know you don't know nothing about no drugs. You don't manufacture no drugs over here. You don't grow no drugs here. You don't package up no drugs here. You don't smuggle no drugs here. You hardly know about it. But the media and the politicians, the schemers, the rich people, the super rich criminals, and the politicians have packaged up everything so that those drugs can come across that border, and they claim they can't stop it. They go all over the world and blow up millions of people and subdue hundreds of countries. Since this country is only 200 years old, but look at how many people they made get in line. They are scared of people so bad, like Alexander the Great, scared of enemies so bad that he still talked about today of the shock that he put most of the known world into in his day and time. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, we have to become mature people so that we won't be walking around here like a fool. You'll feel better, and you won't feel lost. You won't feel alone. if you will embrace what Allah teaches you, if you will embrace the fact that there's a creator, a benevolent, that means a good, a righteous, that there's a righteous force, an all righteous force that loves you and wants to help you. And if you will take on what he teaches you, you will see your mind grow. You will see your life grow. And pretty soon you will outgrow the ability of the devil to take you down. Pretty soon you will see, just like that baby gets strong enough and he gets wise enough, and all of a sudden the dog that used to maybe come and try to lick the baby, or the cat that hang out with the baby, I don't want no animals around my baby. The child at a year and a half or 2 years old, he can handle the dog. He can tell the dog no. He can swat the cat and the cat run. Cat would come and try to drink his milk, and the little baby a year old sitting up, pop that cat in the head, and the cat's gone. Well, in time, as a religious person who studies what Allah says, who keeps bowing to Allah, who keeps obeying Allah, you become strong enough to swat the devil. Isn't that what we do? We go on the Hajj, we throw what you call symbolic stones at the head of the devil. And we are told as Muslims to hurl the truth against the devil and knock out his brain. Hurl the truth against falsehood and knock out the brain of the falsehood. That's what we're told as Muslims. I hope you're able to follow along with what we're talking about. This is very important, so keep your environment as quiet as you can. Sometimes we say things that might be kind of esoteric or so spiritual. We're trying to keep you with both feet down to earth so that you have the strength to separate right from wrong. We have a concept of it. It's called halal, which is righteousness and cleanliness and purity, and something that is permitted by Almighty God. And we have haram, things that we stay away from, that we forbid, that we are forbidden, that we don't do, that we warn against. Tells us, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil nas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. That you are the ones, you are the people, you Muslims are the people who have been given something that makes you the best community on earth, the best group on earth, the best religious group on earth. And you are the people who are so strong that you can invite, you have the knowledge and the ability and the wisdom and the common sense to invite to all that is good and forbid all that is wrong. You'll be able to live the halal, the good, the righteous, the clean, the pure, the permissible, and you'll be able to forbid the people. You'll tell them, don't do that. You'll forbid them to do wrong things, shameful things, dishonorable things, forbidden things, impermissible things, unclean things. What an honor. What an honor. And you'll be able to teach them to believe in Allah, because you believe in Allah. You can't do this work, you can't do this kind of practice without firm and strong belief in Allah. If you get that, you'll be all right. I'm here to tell you, it works. Over and over again, it works. You don't have to, like I said before, you ain't got to be perfect. You just do what's right to the best of your ability and ask Allah to forgive you anytime you make a mistake, anytime you do a thing that's wrong. Ask Allah to forgive you quickly, as quick as you can, quickly as you're aware of something. And ask Allah to strengthen you so you won't be weak. Ask Allah to strengthen you and guide you and help you so you won't be weak and doing something wrong and repeating bad behavior. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, a Muslim is one who does not fall into the same hole twice. But brothers and sisters, we got to deal with a place that is way worse. In Mecca was during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I wouldn't be surprised if you fell into the same trap or same hole or same problem. But you shouldn't ever want to. And you should ask Allah every time you sense that Satan and his ideas are around or in you or on you. We seek refuge with Allah against our bad deeds, against our weaknesses. We should always say, I seek refuge with you, Allah. Thank you, Allah. Help me, Allah. I appreciate you, Allah. All praise is due to you, Allah. We have words for that in Arabic. That's the divine language that the Holy Quran was revealed in. But we can speak it in English and French and whatever else. The concept is to save yourself. The reality is we got to save ourselves. But the Arabic has says I'm trying to see if I can. I'm trying to remember how it goes in the Holy Quran. Excuse me. I can't think of it. But anyway, we're told that this is a book that gives you clear guidance. And this is a book that is a guide and a healing for those who believe. But to the wrongdoers, it will cause loss after loss. For those who do believe not, it will cause loss after loss. We want to be the people who believe. We want to be the people who practice this way of life. Like, you know, you do a good deed, that's a layer of something. You do another good deed or lay out another good concept for somebody, or you help somebody learn how to read the Quran or how to straighten out their life to do something positive. That's another good layer that you lay in on. And pretty soon your layers of good are so thick. The strength that you get from your layers of good are so strong. I mean, do they make bulletproof vests out of any little tin or a layer of leather or something? No. They got stuff now that's so strong that a powerful bullet cannot even pass through it. So you want your layers of goodness to be thick and strong and well-placed. You know, the prophet David, peace be upon him, we call him Daoud, he's the one that Allah taught how to make the coats of mail. Mail is this link chain type of thing. You saw the knights. You see the pictures or movies or in the old books, the books of old time, when the knights would wear something that the tip of the sword could not penetrate. Well, the prophet David is the one who Allah taught to make that particular type of armor. And that's what the bulletproof vest of today is modeled on, some kind of protecting thing that will not allow you to be killed easily. All praises to Allah. And we don't know about Idris, they call him in the Bible, Enoch. We don't know about him being the one who studied the stars to such an extent that he was able to map out. We think that the Romans and the Greeks and all of them made all these things happen. No, it was the prophet Idris. Allah gave him that knowledge. And he gave him the knowledge of astronomy and mathematics. So because of what Allah gave Idris, the concept of logic, the concept of reason is stronger in us. Mathematics, because of mathematics, the physics is stronger or exists. The chemistry, the microbiology. Brothers and sisters, let us wake up and stop believing everything that the Caucasian powers, what they call the white world, has taught us and told us. We didn't know anything. We're like little babies, like I said. They just keep giving us stuff. And most of the stuff that they want us to have is something that destroys us. I hope you understand and heard what I said. Most of the stuff they give us, all of the schemes that they design that look pretty, are really traps and tricks to destroy us. They tell us how to think about life. They tell us how to think about the world. They tell us how to think about our own selves. And they tell us that, hey, guess what? You ain't no good. And we be believing that foolishness. You can't think. You're slow. You're retarded. You're damaged. You're a slave forever. That's what they told us. They said there used to be an old saying that said black people ain't no good. Black people never been no good. And black people no good. Black people never was good and never going to be good. Something to that extent, except they use the N-word. They taught us how to hate, and they taught us who to hate. So whenever they give us these poisons or these weapons or whatever, we don't attack them. We attack our own selves because they told us that we're the ones that should be attacked and disrespected and disowned and disunified and to hate each other and to hate our families. to hate our families, and it told us that the men were no good. Look around on Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, the women get all kind of blessings, and Allah said gave her a bigger blessing than that. Allah says paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Paradise rests at the feet of the mother. Allah didn't teach them to go buy a bunch of trinkets from the enslavers and make them rich off of our love for our mother. The child, if he respects the mother and helps the mother, takes care of the mother and the father, that's showing a great honor and love right there. And he owes them a great debt. He certainly does. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that the parents have the duty to teach the children al-Islam. And if the children don't listen, they have to understand that they have a duty to learn al-Islam before they die, learn the truth before they return to Allah. Because if they return to Allah with all kinds of sins of the world on them, they are doomed. They are doomed because the parents called them. Somebody warned them. Fear Allah. You have no other God but him. Fear Allah. Noah told his son, fear Allah. Abraham told his father, fear Allah. Job told the people that came and tried to convince him that it's okay for a man to be with a man. Not Job, excuse me. Luke, Lot, the one they call Lot. He said, take my daughters. They are pure. It's better for you to marry a woman than what you're trying to do. And they said, we don't want no your daughters. We don't want no women. You know what we want. They were practicing homosexuality. It said during his time that all of the judges even and the lawyers, the politicians, were so corrupt. They were so corrupt. They practiced wrongdoing even in their court and in their trials. And they would scheme. They had gotten so corrupt. Just like now, the lawyers, they'll try to get you the money, but then they turn around and steal all the money. You're asking them to help you keep your property, and they'll steal your house. They'll steal your property because they're scheming on you. You go into the courts and asking them to close up the border and to keep people who don't deserve your benefits by virtue of the fact that you are a citizen. All they got to do is teach you and train you. They have such poor and have had such poor education, and they didn't even intend to give you education for 500 years here as citizens or partial citizens or even slaves in this country. They didn't try to help you, but look at how they readily give everything away to the people that they want to help them build up this city so that it's big like New York and they're moving fast. They'll take everything you got and even poison you to get you out the way. They'll take everything you got and even poison you to get you out the way. I don't care if you kin to some of them. I got some Latinos or half Latinos or something like that in my family. Point is, justice and the doing of good. So they'll give stuff to people who have had no moral teachings. And all they have to do is say, I got the blood of Jesus on me. And this Sunday, they'll be reasserting that. But Jesus didn't die for them. Jesus didn't die for nobody. Jesus, when he did finally pass, they don't even know when he did. He had to answer for himself. Allah says in the Holy Quran, who could stop him if Allah were to destroy Jesus and his mother, who could stop him? Have you read that before? I hope your phone is on mute, please. The Holy Quran says, if Allah chose to destroy Jesus and his mother, Mary, peace be upon her, who could stop him? May Allah be pleased with her, and peace be upon Jesus. He said, if Allah says if he were to destroy them, who could stop him? He said Mary and Jesus had to walk through the streets like everybody else and eat food like everybody else, wear clothes like everybody else. Jesus is a son of Adam. Sometimes he's called the second Adam. Because Adam had no one to worship but Allah. Jesus reasserted that. They say he came from Allah. He did come from Allah. All the messengers come from Allah. Everything that's created comes from Allah. But Jesus said, worship my Lord and your Lord. That's Allah. come not of myself, but of him who sent me. Who sent him? That's Allah who sent him. Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but the Father who is in heaven. If Father, if son or child means follower, then Father just means leader. Jesus said, no one is good but the Father who is in heaven. I come not of myself, but of him who sent me. Why do you call me good? Excuse me. Why do you call me good? No one is good but the Father who is in heaven. Jesus' flesh is kin to David, and David is kin to Adam. All of them are descendants of Adam, the first man. He didn't worship people. There weren't any people to be worshipped. He didn't worship the sun and the moon and the stars. Abraham was the one that said, I don't worship the sun and the moon and the stars. I only worship the one who made me. Before that time, Adam only worshiped the one who made him, and that's Allah. All down through that time, it wasn't a big deal about idols, because nobody was worshiping idols. People knew better than that. But they fell into idol worship sometime between Adam and Abraham, who challenged it and wanted to put it down and challenged even his own father, who was the idol maker of their area, of their nation. His father was so angry at him, he told Abraham, I will have you stoned to death if you keep saying bad things about these statues. Brothers and sisters, all of them be dead now, because look how many people have been taught to worship statues now and stuff. And then they lie. They had Apollo. They had all these things, Artemis. They had Jupiter. They had all these so-called heroes of old. And then they chose to put Jesus' name on one of them. They put Jesus' name on one named Attis. Attis, the virgin son, was tied to a tree. They stabbed him in the side. His blood ran out. And when his blood hit the ground, the flowers began to grow. Doesn't that sound like Easter? That's because it is. Thousands of years old fairy tales and mythology that is still being embraced and hugged and kept. But the Muslims don't have to do that, because we have new knowledge. This new knowledge, this new mind that the Holy Quran is cultivating here in America, our access to the Holy Quran and our following the Holy Quran is not even 50 years old here. If we can talk like this and think like this at less than 50 years old, the world better watch out. We are not fools. We will never be fools. If we're not a fool now, when we're just a little less than 50-year-old baby as a religion in America, here in the United States, if we're that wise at 50 years, less than 50 years old, the world better watch out. They can't fool us. We don't care who's president. We don't care who are the judges. We don't care who are the politicians. We don't care who are the social psychologists and sociologists. We don't care who are the psychiatrists. We don't care who are the doctors of law and the judges. We don't care about how many of these people call themselves the philosophers. You know, they got all these philosophers from thousands of years ago. They still use their names, Socrates and all these people, Dante and all that. Okay, yes, uh-huh. But we don't follow that. Those people are not prophets. They're not angels. They're not worshipers of the creator of the heavens and the earth. We only worship Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are forbidden to worship prophets, forbidden to worship angels. We get our words straight from the teachings of Almighty God Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So we don't care what they do. If we can keep our mind straight, keep this Quranic mind, this Quranic brain, if we can keep this Holy Quran mentality, if we can keep our worship up and our belief, our faith in Allah, our first principle is to keep faith in Allah. Our second principle is to keep up our prayers. Keep faith in Allah and his messenger, not as equals. Allah is the creator. The messenger is the voice of the message that Allah wants distributed throughout the world, Then the second principle is to pray five times a day. Every Muslim all over the planet knows that. This is the month of Ramadan. This is the month when we really, really, really are practicing all of the principles of the religion. Our third principle is the giving in charity. This month of Ramadan, we're giving a lot of charity. We're not eating. We're fasting. And we're reading the Holy Quran, the whole book, during this month. We'll be finished with it at the end of the month. This is the 16th day. We read the 16th part today. This is Ramadan 16. We're fasting. We're giving in charity. We're not eating, but we're letting other people eat. We're looking around, and we're seeing what needs to be dealt with, and we're doing all the good deeds we can, and we're layering it on, layering it on. We're layering, we're making layer after layer after layer of righteous deeds until our armor gets thick and impenetrable by the devils. Brothers and sisters, the devils are working hard. They'd love to take you out. You better wake up. Save yourself. Keep saying, thank you, Allah. Every time you say thank you, Allah, you might not be able to feel a charge or whatever. Allah says sometimes when you remember Allah, you feel a tremor in your heart. You feel a tremor in your heart. You got to remember Allah. Says when the believers remember Allah or hear his name mentioned, they feel a tremor in their hearts. They feel something. Their faith is strengthened. Their faith is increased. Their faith is increased. So you should feel something, but even if you don't say, oh, Allah, if I don't feel something when I call on you, then I can't believe. Don't be silly. Allah is helping you and rewarding you all the time. All the time. So you may not feel it right then, but you might feel it 5 minutes from then. Sometimes I read the Quran, and about 10 minutes later, I feel wonderful. And I say, oh. And Allah is not set on your timing. You're set on his timing. He's not set on your time or our timing. We are set on his timing. You know, a lot of people break up because the man and the woman, the husband and wife, they break up because the man might expect the woman to do what he wants her to do right in the instant that he tells her. Or she might expect something from him, and he might not even know that she's expecting that in the timing that she has for herself for him to do what she says. And they, oh, he don't love me. Excuse me. Oh, he didn't do what I told him to do. That means maybe he's messing with somebody else. We have some insane stuff going on. Those are called the suggestions of the devil. And incidentally, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says when you see something in your spouse that you don't like, he said, find something in her that you do like. And he says that Allah hates divorce. Allah hates divorce. He hates disunity. He hates separating. So whenever you thinking about, first of all, mind your own business and find something to do. Prophet Muhammad SAW said that the Muslim is one who minds his own business. A believer minds his own business and don't be trying to make up stuff, because you try to make up stuff, guess what Satan try to do? He'll say, here, use this. Here, use this thing. And you'll think it's your own idea, and it won't be your idea. It'll be your emotional heart or your disobedient thinking that don't pray enough. You don't remember Allah enough. When you don't remember Allah, you're being disobedient, whether you realize it or not. Brothers and sisters, let us grow up. Let us wake up. So we thank Allah for this month of Ramadan. We're going to the second part of the talk. It's going to be very brief. Allah, have mercy upon us and forgive us our sins. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And that means praise be to Allah, and we ask that Allah's choice is blessed be upon Muhammad and his family and his companions. He is the best of all of the messengers, the best of all of the prophets, and peace be upon all of the believers all over the world. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Again, we thank Allah for this blessed religion. It is a blessed religion, brothers and sisters. The only reason you can see right, the only reason you have better insight than other people, the only reason you have strength in your mind to keep going when sometimes you want to give up is because Allah is blessing you with that strength. Allah is blessing you with that power. Allah is blessing you with the good sense to realize that somebody else is worse off than you and that your own situation could be worse. Allah is making you realize that you need to be more patient, that you need to practice the strength that he gives you. This religion, it's a practice. We have to exercise how we are as Muslims. Don't be ashamed to be a Muslim or fold up when somebody criticizes you because you're different. You better be glad. You better be so grateful to Allah that you're different, because that sameness that they living out there, that drinking, that smoking, that gambling, that raping, that shooting at each other, that lying, that scheming, that stealing, that hankering and hungering after just money, that's the only thing you can believe in. Just running around with you, and homosexuals trying to tell the world what to do. They're shutting down big companies that say we don't want no homosexuality around here. They're trying to frighten people into changing their sexuality. And some people, I don't mean that they get scared and say, oh, I got to go and change myself right now. It seeps into their mind, and Allah says in the Holy Quran that Satan makes something that's hellish and evil. He makes evil fair seeming, makes evil look like it's okay to do. It has never been and never will be okay for a man to allow himself to hate being a man and want to be a woman. That is not allowable. And then to put that in action, oh, that's punishable. That's punishable. It has never been allowed for a female to pretend that she's a man and have body parts removed or whatever and get involved romantically. It's never been allowed by Allah for a male and a female. He's crushed whole societies, whole towns, whole cities. Sodom and Gomorrah were crushed for that very sin. A man not wanting a woman, but preferring. That's what they told the prophet. We don't want your clean, righteous daughters that were raised in the holy house of Lut, that the Bible calls Lot. We don't want your clean, pure, righteous daughters. You don't know what we want. They were wicked, brothers and sisters. And Allah destroyed them. He said he rained down on them. He rained down on them destruction. Tell me no water either. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless each and every one of you. We thank Allah for giving us this Ramadan. We ask Allah to save us from the idol worshippers who are all around us. They look so, their leaders look so nice in their long robes and their crowns and their, you know, and their, but what do you got around his neck? A statue of a dead man. And you're supposed to worship it. All on the walls, statues of a dead man, dead white man. And he's supposed to have power. You're supposed to drink his blood, you know, all across the country and many, many countries of the Western world, about a good 10, 15 countries of more than that, will have a little ceremony and they'll drink some juice or wine and say, this is the blood of Jesus. This will bring me nearer to him. And Jesus ain't even God. Here's his body. I'll eat his body. And eating his body means that I'll be more righteous. I'll be nearer to him. When really, everybody on the earth who's got any kind of knowledge knows that when a human is symbolically or really eating another human, that's cannibalism. Cannibalism. Sometimes in the slaughterhouses, they grind up the hogs. You know, they don't throw away nothing. And they put it and they use it as feed. Grind up the cows and use the horns and hoofs or whatever else, bones, as feed. And they say that the scientists say that's where the disease, some of the cow's diseases started. I forget the name of the disease, but there's a horrible disease that kills millions of cows once it hit. And they say they've scaled back or stopped the practice of feeding the hog or the cow his own flesh or the flesh of his species, because it will cause terrible diseases that they'll catch and die. I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about from eating, from that cannibalism, feeding the animal itself or its species, it creates a death for them, because it's something that Allah does not want. He does not want. He made the animals to eat grass, to eat hay, to eat leaves. He didn't make the animal to eat itself. And so the human being, you know, he's some called an animal, somewhat an animal, but he's such a high animal that he's not even called an animal. He's called human. Now, we don't eat physical, and we look down on that. But what about somebody who's practicing being a cannibal in his mind? Don't you think you're going to do disease things, have crazy ideas, wow, crazy appetites? Don't you think that's going to happen? Yes, it will. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless each and every one of us with understanding. And this week, when they're doing the different procedures and stuff, watch it on television and see how much silly stuff that they be doing. Pick up the dial and kiss it. And maybe that's another one. That's another holiday. But they do that. Brothers and sisters, just look at it and say, thank you, Allah, for saving me from these people who won't treat me right, but want me, inviting me to follow the stuff that they say. That is wild and crazy thing to do, a wild and crazy thing to do. I'm not going to drink the blood and eat the flesh of who Allah says is one of his best messengers. Don't you know that Jesus and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he and Jesus would be standing together like my two fingers. He put the first and the second finger together. He said, that's the way we'll stand together on the day of judgment. So there's no way that our religion can stand still and not criticize people who are defaming Jesus and lying on Jesus and abusing Jesus' holy name, righteous name. We don't even call him Jesus. We call him Esau. Esau. And we know that he is, and his mother are people that are living responsible for Allah's word. One of the attributes of Jesus is called, he's called Allah's word. And his mother is called one of the four rightly guided or four righteous women, four purified women of the world, of the creation. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Khadijah, the wife of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace be upon him, Fatima, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him and peace be upon her, and I'll be pleased with her, and Asiyah, the lady who saved Moses from being killed by Pharaoh. Brothers and sisters, our religion is the religion that gives you knowledge, that it is said of our religion that one learned of us, one learned person, one learned man is harder on the devil, harder on Satan than 1,000 unlearned one of us. The unlearned of us, the ones that are not that educated, our learned people are 1,000 times harder on the devil than those other people. If you get wise enough to do damage to the devil, you're pretty wise. And when we tell you, don't follow these people, no matter how many parties they have, nails they nail in some countries, they actually nail nails in their hand, mimicking the crucifixion, when the crucifixion, Allah said in the Holy Quran, didn't even happen. So this guy's punishing himself for nothing. They thrust a crown of thorns down on their head until they bleed. They carry a big old wooden, you'll see them right around here in Los Angeles, carrying a big old wooden pole on their back like it's a cross. And they'll be walking down the street. And the police will be around them, guarding them to make sure that nobody run up and make fun of them or bother them. brothers and sisters. They go to great lengths to convince you of something that Allah says is an abominable lie, a horrible lie, a lie so big it just makes if something could make the mountain shake instantly, it would be that lie. Make the mountains of the world shake. But it's not the mountains, physical mountains of the world that's shaking. It's the stability of your thinking, the stability of your knowledge and wisdom and truth, shaking the truth until you start thinking, well, this can't be truth if it's shaking like that. Brothers and sisters, Allah teaches you the truth. It's in the Holy Quran and in the life of Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, the one who would call us to the worship of Allah. Forever he is the best caller to the worship of Allah. And Allah says he's the one, Allah calls you to the home of peace. Brothers and sisters, let us accept Allah's call. And you'll see that we'll grow into a new development, a better people. We won't be doing the things that the people around us do. And we'll clearly see how wrong they are. We'll clearly see how wrong they are. Don't let them convince you that drugs are okay. Don't let them convince you that gambling is okay. I don't care if it's a little scratch off. Don't let them convince you to do anything against Allah. Allah says if any disobey him, they will fail. They will fail. So let us close. We thank Allah and we ask Allah to have mercy upon us and all those who have passed away and all those who are ill. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. And that means Allah and His angels do salute Prophet Muhammad. Oh, you believe, do you likewise, and give him a proper salute. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. That means, oh Allah, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and his family. And, oh Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad or followers of Muhammad as you did bless Ibrahim and his family of followers. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Rabbana aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfina fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. Our Lord, forgive us our sins and anything that we may have done that transgressed our duty. Establish our feet firmly and give us strength and help against those who turn against faith or who are against faith. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the chastisement and torment of the hellfire. Amen. Aqim as-salat, that means stand up for prayer, and we have the person who calls the prayer, and then they stand up for the prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد كامل الصلاة قد كامل الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله استعو استعو. So we stood up for prayer. We're asking everybody to stand shoulder to shoulder, put their feet together, and make a straight line. That's what استعو means. Line up. During the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. اهدنا صراط المستقيم الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله
الحمد لله brothers and sisters peace be unto you assalamu alaikum Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. We're asking Allah to guide each and every one of us and have mercy upon us, those who have returned to Allah and those who are ill. We ask Allah to bless them and have mercy upon them and forgive them their sins and admit them into paradise. We lost one of our very good brothers on the 10th of Ramadan, and his name was Bilal. Kareem, and we're asking Allah to have mercy upon him and his family. His twin brother passed away about a year ago, and they were identical twins. I knew them very well. May Allah bless him and have mercy upon them. We hope that all of the believers the world over will make dua for them. Many, many, many American Muslims in America knew them. So blessed be them, and may Allah have mercy upon them, forgive them their sins. And we want to also Talk Radio, who carries our Juma, know that we really appreciate them and their continued support. Brother Amin Muhammad, continued support. We appreciate him and his staff, and inshallah, we'll see you at the next Juma. So keep up with us. Again, I'm Muhammad Khatib. We're in Los Angeles, California, and this is the 16th of Ramadan, and today's date is, again, the Let me see if I can get it right quick. Maybe, maybe not. Okay, April 7th, yeah. So bless everybody, and we'll talk to you again next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.